B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think we have not been intimidated for one second by the physicality of their team. I didn't expect us to be going into the series. We've had a season series with them where we matched them hit for hit.
Again, Bruce Cassidy, match their physicality. I don't know if that's true or not intimidated one second. I don't think that's overstatement. They've gotten you a little bit with their physicality, and you're not going to match them physically. But the attitude, I appreciate.
One area he's right, Wilson hasn't done Wilson-y things overall in these three games, like to really be
suspendable.
Yeah.
I mean,
tell you what, some of his hits, though, are like you can feel them on your sofa. He hits people so hard.
Definitely. I mean, him and Wagner have a thing, obviously, but he hasn't been like dirtbag Tom Wilson in any way to like truly affect the series.
No, so the czar, he knocked like 3 feet off the ground.
Into the bench.
Oh, my
skates
gosh.
Skates off the rink.
And there was another one, Mike. It was at like at the end of the ice. He absolutely obliterated someone. I don't remember who it was.
Well, if you want to see, go watch the Taylor Hall goal. He cross-checks a couple. He goes on a little cross-checking spree. And I can't remember who he hit first. But he walloped someone with a cross-check and then got to Hall with he just went on a little burst.
He's a large man.
Oh, my God. and Hathaway ain't tiny either, and they can both play. And, like, that's been, those guys, offensively, have been, like, more of a threat than, I think, really beating you down. Even though I think they have gotten more of the physical play. I think it's the skill on the bottom two lines of the Capitals more than anything that's kept them in it.
Yeah, those guys are pretty. I didn't realize they were as deep there as they are. And I've been, you know, again, they can all, to me, what sticks out, they can all shoot the puck. They get the puck anywhere in, you know, within striking distance. And they can pick a corner, and it gets there, man. There's velocity, too. They can fire the puck.
All right, Agenda Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Felger and Mazz are presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. And once again, we're coming to you from the greatest bar, and that is brought to you by Bud Light. Felger and Mazz back among the people. We'll get back to your phones. We've hit on everything. We've hit on all four teams, and whatever you want on Agenda Free, that's pretty much how we roll. Let's lead off with Bob in Needham on line four. Jimmy, again, of course, I'm frozen. Hi, Bob. You're up next with Felger and Mazz. Go ahead.
How you doing, Mike? If I thought I had time, I'd defend your honor against Bedard, but I call about the Celtics. By the way, Felger, great call about the Washington tank job.
Thank you. They were tanking.
That was exactly what they were doing. And, you know, the Stevens and Ainge are either not smart enough or they're too pious to think along the same lines as, the, you know, that Washington did, because you'd much, much rather play Philadelphia than the Nets. And second point, you know, we're in the same boat as 25-plus other teams in the NBA. No elites, they all want to either go to L.A. or New York or maybe Miami, but that's it. And they don't want any part of the city, or not just this city, but Orlando, Detroit, you can Minnesota.
No. Bob, I'm going to stop you. You're right. You might as well be Milwaukee. You might as well be, you know, whatever, 25 of the 30 teams in the league. It's unfortunate, but that's pretty much the case. And in some cases, I think, you know, the city's reputation racially and whatnot, which I think is a thing of the past, largely, still works against you. There's still a little pocket of that, you know, that may work against you on the margins in some cases as well.
Oh, definitely. And look, again, I'm not telling you, I believe, because I think city's really different now.
And you know what? Let me say, I don't know if it's a racist thing, but I can't imagine it's the funnest place for people of color. You know, it's just not it's just not as diverse and interesting and like that. Like, so I mean, I think these guys want to go somewhere where they can have fun. They're young men and whatnot, and this is just not a great spot for that.
Well, not when you compare it, compared to Miami or LA or New York. It's just not, like, in terms of nightlife. Absolutely not.
No, and that in and of itself can make you feel uncomfortable. You walk around, you feel like you're alone.
Yeah.
So I, you know, that's a hard thing to get, like, you know, it's hard to blame anyone for that. You know, it's hard to fix. It's not like you can fix it. But, you know, they got to get a winning thing going here and have it happen fast.
Let's grab John in Boston on the Pats. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good show. My take is on the quarterback room. I don't really think that it's finalized just yet. I mean, we're talking about skills not aligning at the position between Cam and Matt. But I think that can be said for some of these other teams that took high draft picks, i.e. the Niners. I just don't see it conceivable that they'll spend $25 million on Garoppolo with Lance in their quarterback room.
John, I'm going to stop because we're just having a hard time hearing you. He thinks the quarterback room is not done. And they talked about Garoppolo. That's the only addition they're going to make, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that if that happens, it'll be late.
But
I don't think there's anything else coming other than that.
Right, all I'm saying right now is it's Garoppolo or bust.
Correct.
And even that's a long shot.
Correct.
Garoppolo's going to have to be released, or they're going to have to trade him for a really low pick, and he's going to have to redo his deal, and all those things that were preventing him in the first place are still going to prevent it.
It ain't happening this year. I think we're too far gone.
I mean, if Garoppolo wasn't going to take a cut last month, is he going to take a cut next month?
No.
So, I think that's a long shot, and I don't see anything else happening. No, this is it.
And it's the same room as last year.
It's the same room.
With a rookie that Bill doesn't want to play,
right,
at least
Matt
for this
Jones.
Year.
That's right. That's the only difference.
I mean, that is just gross.
It's mind-numbing when you think of it.
It's gross.
It is. You couldn't be worse than they were last year at quarterback, given who they are and what they've had at stake and what they built. You couldn't be worse than they were, and they brought them all back.
Scrap Allen in Florida on the Red Sox. You like that game last night, Allen?
That game was absolutely one of the greatest, and this is where they're making errors. I couldn't go to sleep. That's how great that game was. And then Bonds comes in, throwing breaking stuff, and then comes in 99 miles an hour. I mean, listen, I was so against this team in the beginning, but when I'm wrong, I admit it. And this team right now, you know, unfortunately they're facing Nola tonight, which I don't like because he's their ace, and I'd like to see him in a Red Sox uniform. Can I just say one thing, Jay? I know you don't like changing the subjects.
Go ahead.
I am so, it is so obvious what happened the other night, and people just, they tanked, that's okay. You know, with all gambling being legalized in all these different states, there should be an investigation. The Silver is considered one of the great commissioners or the best commissioner. They tanked that game. Anyone with a half a brain would know what they did. And, everyone accepts it.
I agree. They tanked that game. They tanked the game. It was subtle, though. They were good about it.
Yeah, because they were in it at halftime.
Yeah, they led at half. They had a big lead at one point in the first half. And then in the second, there were a couple of times I noticed it where Westbrook got to the rim, and then he came up just short. They hit only three three-pointers all game.
Yeah.
And the attempts were even down. It was something like 14 attempts, which in today's NBA is a joke.
That's a quarter.
I mean, I can't remember the exact number. Maybe it was more than that. But they only hit three. And Westbrook wasn't himself. They didn't start, blitzing Tatum or, sending an extra guy to Tatum until it was too late. It was anyone who watched the Wizards all year round, and I didn't. This is just what I read. You know, the guys that covered him said this is – team's unrecognizable. Like, where did this come from?
Just based on their win-loss record over the last month and a half, the anomaly was the night against the Celtics. And then, you were right about this one. I didn't want to give you too much credit because I thought the Celtics were better defensively and it was a good night for Tatum, but no, they tanked.
Nope, they tanked.
Turns out they did tank.
And watch, they're going to give Philly a series. They're going to be balls to the wall against Philly, and that one thing, they will have ended the season with one bad giveaway game in 2 months, and it was you when they wanted to lose it.
Tell you what, Westbrook and Simmons in the same series, two point guards who can't shoot.
Oh, my God, but hold on. Compared to Simmons, Westbrook is freaking Larry Bird.
Oh, yeah, no, compared to Simmons.
Okay.
But don't kid yourself, he can't shoot either.
On that Red Sox game? That was the most Red Sox I've watched. That's the most I watched of any game all year. I mentioned this in the 2 o'clock hour. And even though that stadium is just goofy, it's like wiffle ball in my backyard, there was something that sort of drew me to it, and I watched more of that game last night than I watched any Red Sox game this season.
Tell you, I've never seen anything like it in the three games, the wind that blows out to right field there. I've never seen anything like it. Dahlbeck hit one last night that started in, like, right center and hit the foul pole.
And hit the pole, yeah.
Okay, and it was, it wasn't quite right center, but it was away from the line.
But you could see the guys tooing it, too.
Oh, they were all aiming there.
Bichette, and Dahlbeck, all these inside-out swings. You have to. You put it in the air to right, it's gone.
Yes, and the guy who pitched for the Jays, two nights ago, Ross Stripling. What a freaking meatball artist that guy was. Holy crap. He left one belt-high to Verdugo that he hit on top of the maintenance shed out there in right field. The thing was banging around on the metal roof for crying out loud. It was an absolute... He got it up in the jet stream, and that was the end of that.
What a Mickey Mouse stadium that thing is.
It is totally... Oh, it's like playing in a wind tunnel.
But I sort of liked it. I don't know. It brought an element to it that I was... I don't know. I was okay with it.
Well, different is good in baseball, right?
Yes.
It is different.
It was an exciting game. Here is Bruce in Saugus on the Bruins on line six. Jimmy, if you could help me out. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I want to talk a little bit about the Bruins' power play. It hasn't been bad, but it just hasn't been as good as it needs to be for us to really to go far, I don't think. If you take a look, not a lot of people have talked about this. I think the personnel on the points on the power play isn't really good, and I'm wondering if Pastrnak could move back there. Cassidy obviously agrees with me, by the way, that it's not that good, because I don't know if you guys noticed, Hall took a few shifts, power play shifts on the point. McAvoy I love, but decision-making, I think that's a little bit isn't quite his thing.
Let me just stop you. I'm actually refreshed that their power play is struggling and they're still winning. Like, I think that's a good – they become better 5-on-5. But on the power play, I mean, I don't know. McAvoy back there instead of Grizzlick. Krejci's been on the point. Krejci isn't often or hasn't always been on the first power play unit. They can tinker with that. Like, there's a spot. I'll put Taylor Hall in instead of Pastrnak, even though he's not really a one-time artist to like Pastrnak. He'd have to be it from the other side. But I'd screw with the personnel on that.
Yeah. I still feel like they're not shooting enough. Like, you know, first of all, when the Caps pressure them, they're getting turned over. And, you know, they don't have any space to operate, which is stunning given that it's 5-on-4. But then beyond that, the passing back and forth sometimes that happens out by the blue line, shoot the damn puck. At least get it, like try to break down the structure of it a little, create a little chaos. I don't feel like they're shooting enough from the point.
More your calls on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
On the Caps tonight in Game 4. But right now, Felger and Maz are at the greatest bar on Friend Street. Thanks to Bud Light on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's Hathaway back in the net, tries to drag it out in front. He goes right into Rask, and Rask loses his helmet, and Rask with a couple of blocker sandwiches coming Hathaway's way.
Just protecting myself. I'm not surprised there's not a penalty. It's going to take a lot to them to call anything. So I figured I'll let him know that if he comes close, that maybe I'll give him a couple too many. I don't know. That's what the ref thought.
A couple of blocker sandwiches for you there, Maz. It's a nice moment for Tuukka Rask. I think we all agree with that. We got you covered here for Game 4, of course. 6:30 puck drop, another early one here on 98.5 The Sports Up. Dunkin' Donuts pregame at 6. Felger and Maz got you covered right up until the pregame. We'll continue with your calls on this and whatever you want because it is an agenda-free Friday. How about David in Wareham? Go ahead, David. What do you got on line 3, Jimmy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to talk about Pastrnak and how he's been playing this series. I don't think he's really living up to his expectations. Thank you.
Okay.
You don't say.
Agreed.
Pastrnak in the postseason, turtling and not really contributing much? Wow, shocker.
So, you know,
it's so frustrating, though, because he has, you know, he's so talented, and he didn't have the greatest year, and he certainly disappeared at times. But like you said the other night, Mike, like, I had really good seats. I never really noticed how massive he is. A guy like that shouldn't be pushed around the way that he is. Like, it just doesn't make sense for a guy that, like, he's big. He really is. Like, I never really noticed. You certainly don't notice it on TV, but when you're up close, you're like, boy, oh, this is even more, I'm even more pissed off that he hasn't really done that much. And he's like, you know, getting knocked ass over tea kettle, like, just by someone breathing on him.
So, like, I have a hard time figuring, is it just the usual thing in the playoffs where he goes up against a physical team and doesn't respond? Or is there something wrong with them all year, and this is just a continuation of what's been an off season for him?
Well, this year it might be both, but I don't think it's a playoff thing per se. I think it's a type of playoff team, and when they play physical teams, forget it. He's useless. So because again, in his career, it's 55 points in 55 games, right? I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
But then when you examine it, you say, well, but 23 of those games, nothing, and minus 18. So not only is he giving you nothing, but he's costing you goals. And then, granted, he doesn't play alone on a line, right? There are other guys out there with him. But I just think the, you know, if you start bodying him, forget it. He's done. It's over.
Will in Medford on the Celts. Go ahead, Will.
Well, all right. Listen, big guy. I just got to push back a little bit on the call from the 450 hour where you were saying how, you know, if Kyrie had brought Kevin Durant here, you know, we'd be cheering for him. Like, yeah, so if you brought Kevin Durant here, we'd be cheering for him. But the fact of the matter is, that's not what happened. That is not what happened. What happened is this guy came in, put on a puss, and he destroyed the team from the inside out. And now, it's like you said, it's like now we're going to be in a situation where we have the Brooklyn Nets, a team that we quote-unquote fleece. They're going to go by. I mean, it's over before it started. I hate it. All right.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, I get why you are emotional about it, but if you're just booing on emotion, then I'm sorry, I'm not with you. Like, if you booed him when he was here, and you boo him next week, then fine, we're on fair footing. I just don't feel that that's any Celtic fan that I know of. The Celtics fans I know and the Celtics fans we hear from protected him every step of the way. Even when he turned into a flaming a-hole here. You had his back, and you wanted him back, and you defended him against people like us. And so you're just booing on the emotion of him leaving you?
That's a Celtics experience. Whoever's wearing the uniform while he's here, we love him. And when he's gone, we're going to hate him. That's how it is.
And I can't play that game.
Oh, I don't blame you. I get it.
And I think, do, but... you know, it's especially when you vilify the guy. Like, you vilify the guy. So now you pick on him for the goofy mysticism and the goofy Indian heritage thing and the goofy what does government mean to you, man. So now you pile on him for that. Where when he was here, I didn't really hear that. We piled on him.
Well,
he
did get weirder since he left. Would you admit that?
Maybe, but I think even if he got weirder here, you would still be defending him. Especially if he brought you Durant. And the caller at least acknowledges that. I mean, you want what he has right now. You wanted that. You should want that. You wanted him to stay in all his asshattery and bring in Durant and be a championship contender. So you're only booing the fact that he wouldn't do that here and he's going to Jersey, which makes it kind of childish. But then again, being a fan is kind of childish. I understand.
Hell yeah.
But just like it's the bad dude thing that gets me. Because if that bad dude wanted to play in Boston, you'd be all with him. You'd be all for him.
I don't know if he's really a bad guy.
No.
He's not a bad guy. He's just weird.
He's insufferable.
He is insufferable.
He's weird and insufferable.
Oh, he's totally insufferable.
Painful. Steven in Boston. Go ahead, Steven.
It's a beautiful Friday night. Bruins playoff hockey is back. I will know the pandemic is over and hockey is back when Bruins fans play the seventh player tonight and are in the stands because all of Russia and Putin are watching you. And you will be saying, chanting, Samsonov.
Okay. Samsonov. Steven tried a little comedy routine there. But
I think he's already started the Bud Lights.
But we are, you know, this is Felger Maz being on remote at a bar down the street from the Garden before a Bruins playoff game on a beautiful spring day. That feels more like, you know, what we're used to. I will say that.
Oh, yeah, no. This is a, we're breaking a barrier of sorts today.
No doubt about it.
We've crossed a milepost.
You know what? I said before, it's not like we're, God, why am I
first man on the moon?
Who's the first man on the moon again?
Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, it's not like we're Neil Armstrong or anything. I'm going to revise that. We are effing Neil Armstrong. we're breaking boundaries and going to new frontiers today.
Blazing trails.
We're in a bar by the Garden before a Bruins playoff game.
It's one small step for the bees. It's one giant step for the beers.
It is.
For mankind.
It's just as important.
As far as
I'm concerned. Ryan in Cumberland, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to talk about Nick Ritchie and his like how he's doing on the power play. He's not on it right now, but you guys think he should be back on the second string power play?
Second string? I think he is on the second unit. I thought he was.
He's turned into a pumpkin this postseason. Kind of bugs me because people still want to rag on him, but he was one of the good storylines of this Bruins team this regular season. And people are like, yeah, he's a big fat oaf and Nick Ritchie. He's turned into like bad Nick Ritchie so far this postseason.
And not that the Caps are particularly fast, but the playoff game's too fast for him. It's too fast.
Completely.
You know, maybe he gets by in the regular season, but at the, you know, the speed those guys are going on out there, I think he's just exposed.
I'll tell you what, with the way their power play is going, though, again, I'd start shooting from the point and have him camp his ass in front of the net.
Look for a ricochet.
Seriously.
Yeah. No, that's it. Aim for the ass.
Yes. Shoot for Richie's ass and see what happens.
Mark in Dorchester. Go ahead, Mark.
All right, boys. Mike, the other day you said that the Wizards tanked.
I did.
To play the 76ers after they blew out the Pacers with 142 points last night. Are the Celtics that much better than the Pacers? Second point, LeBron hit the game winner against the Warriors. He said that he saw three rims and he aimed for the middle one. What a ridiculous comment. Can you boys talk about how much of a clown he is? Let's go, Bees. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, he is just so... Talk about insufferable.
He's another guy, too.
I mean, my God, anytime you get anywhere near his head, he's like... like it's just it is the histrionics get a little much, you got to admit.
Yeah, at least he's good.
Unlike Marcus Smart, who does the same thing, right?
Like, I can live with, you know, you can get away with a lot of that when you're one of the probably five greatest players of all time.
Celtics, Pacers, I'm not, all I know is the Bullets came to play last night, and when they got here, they had really not that great of an interest in winning the ball game. And if I'm them, I'd rather face Philly than the Nets, too. And I think they came in here and tanked. I think they tanked. And I was waiting to see how they looked last night, and I just knew I had a feeling. 143. After they made three, they make three three-pointers here the other night and then go for a 143 two nights later. You tell me. You smell a rat on that one or what?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Big Jim Murray's update comes your way right now. Then one more segment of your excellent phone calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Are at the greatest bar across from the garden, thanks to Bud Light. And we're getting you ready for game four between the Bees and the Caps on Boston's home for Bruins hockey. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right corner, Krejci digging away. And the Caps get to it, but can't control it. Drilled back in by Miller. Back of the net, Samsonov stops it. Getting there is Smith. Wrap around. He scores!
Felger Mass Rabbit here from the greatest bar, and Bruins getting ready for Bruins action. 6 o'clock for the pregame, 6:30 puck drop here on 98.5 the Sports Hub. We'll wrap it up here as a gender free Friday, as usual, with your phone calls, Bruins or anything else. Arthur in Brockton, back to our Celtics conversation in Boston as a destination. Go ahead, Arthur.
Hey, gentlemen, I was actually calling to just thank y'all for your acknowledgement of things potentially being uncomfortable for men of color in the city, people of color in the city. And I think with y'all platform and who you guys are, acknowledging that is really cool. And it's going to help keep conversations going and help things get better. I appreciate it.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what, I'm not sure how important that is to say that this is not a great spot for NBA players. It wouldn't be their first choice for a young African-American NBA star. I mean,
I don't think he's talking about just players.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about people.
Yeah.
Look again, you know, it's striking. As you've said a million times, go to Fenway Park and take a look around. Let me know how many people of color you see.
Go to different parts of the country, just in terms of nightlife. Like, there's definitely a level of sameness with a lot of the places around here. It's just, it's what it is.
Yeah, so, now look, again, I think that city's made major strides compared to what it was, say, you know, Mike, when we first started working here even.
Oh, my God.
Right in the early 90s, or, you know, it was a totally different place 30 years ago. And so it's come a long way, but the fact is that's not something that just gets erased overnight,
right,
a reputation.
Right, the reputation is still there. And it just, like, we're just talking about the Celtics and how do you do it in this day and age in the NBA? And that's just a piece to it. Like, and that's, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time on that because I think there's even bigger factors than that. It's just on the list somewhere. It's, you know, to expect Tatum and Brown to be happy enough here to stay, and not just stay, but like it so much and believe in it so much that they'll actually recruit someone to come here and tell their buddies, for Jason Tatum to go to Bradley Beal and say, Bradley, you got to get here, man. Like, this coach knows what he's doing. We're on the way. It's a great city. We'll have a blast here. You know, like, that's what you need. And I feel like it's just not realistic. I don't feel like I don't feel Brown and Tatum will like it enough to stay as close. Like, that's borderline to even stay. But then to recruit and to actually sell the place on somebody, I don't feel like that's in the cards. And that doesn't make you different than a lot of places. Like, most of the league is like that. And not that you have, again, the city's reputation is a little different. But, like, I just think there's so many moving pieces to have it work here. It's tough.
Yeah, and look, again, looking at it from purely a basketball standpoint just for a minute, if we are having this same conversation, okay, about the future of the team now, and a year from now, it's over. It's over. The next year for them is huge. Huge. There's got to be significant progress made on the floor in order for Brown and Tatum to want to stay here. If they're in the same spot a year from now, I think it's over.
They truly have to empower them, but especially Tatum. And if Tatum is done with Stevens, they'd probably have to let him go, or they would have to let him go. But even beyond that, like, what are the other selling points? Like, beyond that,
what are the other selling points?
Because right now, like, so the Knicks, who are in the playoffs for the first time in, what is it, 6, 7 years, whatever the hell it is. So right now, if you're like Julius Randle, or Derrick Rose isn't what Derrick Rose 10 years ago, but you say, like, look at the turnaround. Tom Thibodeau's good to play with. We're building something here, and it's New York City. Like, you have real pitch points if you're a member of the Knicks right now, even though the Knicks have been, you know, one of the laughingstocks of the league for the longest time. But right now, there's more selling points for the Knicks than there are the Celtics.
Dan in the Woods on the Bruins. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, I'd like to talk about Taylor Hall and putting him on the first line power play in place of David Krejci. Because the first line power play right now they've had some good looks, like that big goal, tying goal they scored in Game 3. But I think, like, maybe putting Taylor Hall to the Krejci gives right now there's 4 right hand shots. I think adding another left hand to that line maybe adds some more consistency to it, because
Taylor
Hall's been playing pretty good.
I'm with you, babe. I'm fine. Tinker with the personnel there. You know, it's like, is Taylor Hall the net front guy? I mean, he would have to be. They don't really have a net front guy right now, which is the thing. It's like the first line plus Krejci and McAvoy. So, you know, who's really that guy that just parks his ass in front of the net? They don't. I guess Pasternak goes up there, but he's really at the wing. I mean, Bergeron, they don't really have that on that first power play.
See, I like Krejci out there, though, because I think that one of the issues they're having is that the Caps are running at him. And they, you know, they can't handle the puck. It's, you know, that's part of it. And Krejci, to me, is one of the few guys who has poise with the puck. So you can scrap someone out there. I have no issue with that. But Krejci, I would leave.
Corey and
I'd take Pasternak off before I took Krejci off.
Yes, me too. Corey and Drake it on the Celts. Hi, Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to chime in and basically say that I thought that the matchup that they have between the Nets is probably a little bit better than people are giving it credit for. I mean, you don't get me wrong. Either team that we'd play, whether it be the Nets or the Sixers, I mean, we'd get properly Roger there. But I think that the absence of a true center with the Nets is really why I make that determination. Because if we play the Sixers, I really can't see how Kemba Walker gets into the paint. And at least with the Nets, if they have a bad shooting night, we might sniff something out of one of those games.
Thank you. Corey Murray, do you want to respond?
That's right. I can understand why you Celtics fans would want to boo Kyrie Irving, since he went to Brooklyn and acts like the cat who got the cream.
I don't know if he was putting one on, but it was a pretty good job that he did.
What's that guy's name? What was his name? Corey in Detroit. He's called before.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I think he's real then. Yeah,
I think he's legit.
No, he is legit. I'm
a proper Englishman.
And he just knows we want to hear him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he can keep going as far as I'm. Him and Tom and Quincy can just speak their dialect as much as they want.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, look, and I would just tell Corey in Detroit, thank you for the call, but they're going to get their ass kicked. I think they're going to get annihilated. I do. And again, when I say annihilated, could the Nets let them hang around in some of the games? Yeah. The Celtics will be lucky if they win more than one. They'll be real. In fact, I think they'll be lucky if they win one. But I can't see it going past five.
They're
going
to win two games.
No way.
So
I don't believe in them. I wanted them to get knocked out of this play-in round because that's what they deserve. They're going to win two games in this series.
No, you know why, Murray? Because the Nets don't want to come back to Boston for a game six. So it's over. It's over in five. Five max, four maybe.
Okay. I want the Celtics to win at least a couple because I do want – Celtics fans, you think I don't want to hear from you and this is a thing. No. I want to hear from you. How do you like Kyrie now, Felger? I want the Celtics to win one of those first two in Brooklyn. And then you come back here and it's a 1-1 series and the Green Teamer's got a little bit of hope. And there's a little more juice in that building. And you can boo Kyrie even louder. Boo! I hate you, Kyrie! I hate boo! And I control you and you can go bad. Like, that's what I want. I want a series. So winning one of the first two there gives it a little juice, man.
Well, listen, I'm not telling you what I want. I'm telling you what I think's going to happen. I would love to see it go to hell. I'd love to see the Celtics win. Absolutely. Aside from it being good for us, it'd be a great story. Like, don't get me wrong, but I think at the end of this, their ass cheeks are going to get red. They are going to get spanked.
They're going to get calls, too. I don't underestimate the fact that they have this game play, this first game starting tomorrow night, Saturday night, 8 p.m., prime time, the biggest slot for the league. It's good for the league if this thing goes, if it goes long. And the Celtics are going to get home cooking. They're going to win a couple of games in the series. I don't believe in them at all. Again, I wanted it over. They don't deserve to even be in the postseason, considering how this season went. They're going to win two games in the series.
I'm telling you, wear cycling shorts with lots of padding because your ass is going to get spanked. You are going to get spanked.
Hey, man, I'm on an apology tour. I got to apologize to you.
Hold on one second. Let's go to Aldo and Ludlow. He's up next. Aldo, now go ahead, please.
Hey, I want to apologize to Maz for the other day.
Okay, go.
About the Yankees. They did that thing the other night, and it cheapened it. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
You know, I mean, I've said this a million times, folks. Don't go back to 2 days ago with something you said or we said. We have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't remember two segments ago.
None. But everyone continues to do it. I want to apologize for what I said the other day. Who are you, sir? I've never heard of you before in my life. Never mind what you said. But they always do it.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what he was talking about?
None, zero.
I want to apologize because with the Yankees, it cheapens it. Oh, the no-hitter.
Oh, yeah.
The no-hitter. Well,
whatever. His comment line said Bruins. Kyle in Northborough. Go ahead, Kyle, on the Celts. Kyle!
Hello?
Yes, hello. Go.
I just want to say that Kyrie thinks he's a philosopher, yet he doesn't realize all he cares about is money. Money from Duke, money from Brooklyn. The guy doesn't care about any political causes other than getting paid.
Okay, and would you like to have gotten paid here and stayed here?
No.
Oh,
never.
Liar.
Look, in a lot of ways, I think he's a disingenuous fraud, and he's insufferable to listen to. But he has done a lot of really good things with his money as well. He bought George Floyd's family a house. Like, on the one end, he is philanthropic, and I think his heart's in the right place. But he just can't help himself from being a gigantic a-hole.
he is insufferable.
No,
the guy thinks he's the Dalai Lama.
No, he's brutal. Just brutal. But I don't think he's, like... Again, you said, I don't think he's necessarily a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy.
I don't think he's malicious or out to hurt people or, you know, and I think he is charitable with his money. So, no, on any of that. All right, here in the couple minutes we have left, final thoughts on tonight, Maz. What do you think, Bruins?
I think that, I'm not worried about, I think what happens with the Bruins is going to be dictated by what the Capitals do. I think the Capitals are going to come out guns blazing, but I think there's a good chance, that actually helps the Bruins, not hurts them. Because I think it could open up the game, and if the game gets open, I think the Bruins can exploit the Washington D maybe more than the other way around. I feel like Washington's already exploiting the Bruins, too. Their forecheck is heavy. They've had the puck in that zone. You know, they just haven't scored a ton because I think the Bruins generally get help from their forwards and they fight it off. If the game opens up, I think that helps the Bruins.
Protect the puck. That's all I really want out of this team right now.
Very good,
the Capitals' goals have come off of bad puck management. If they clean up that part of their game, they win tonight, they win this series. And I want to see if there's a psychological brown stain in the pants of Samsonov, the Capitals goalie, because of the way that thing ended and the meltdown Ovechkin had. I think that's the most interesting thing. If something trickles in early and it's a cheapie, they could not blow them out, but you know, this could go sideways for Washington real quick.
No, I agree. The Samsonov angle is the most interesting thing to me. And I look, I'm horrible at predictions, so I you know, but I think it's totally in the realm of possibility that he shuts you down. Kid's good. He had what was lost in that mistake is that he was really good. He saved their ass in the first period. You know, they were all over him with the 5-on-3 and the power plays, and he was really good, and he is really good. And who knows? We all think it's going to, you know, fall apart for them because of this, but what if it goes in the other direction? I can totally see that. Not that that's an official prediction, Jimmy, because you know I don't like to give them. Dunkin' Donuts pregame comes your way at 6 p.m. Puck drops shortly after 6:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
All right, so Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal, none too pleased that the show did not reach out to him regarding the return of quarterback Brian Hoyer, which had him sounding smarter than the average bear.
Felger and Maz, I'm sure they're going to clip this, but those guys are morons.
So that's our buddy Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, on his podcast this morning.
Felger just kept saying over and over again, why not just make him a coach?
Sounds like Yogi Bear.
You could pay him $15,000.
Where's my picnic basket?
Give him food stamps.
Hey, boo-boo.
The Pats are cheap.
Hey, boo-boo.
Just make him a coach.
Mr. Puck Ranger Smith.
Hey, or the Patriots suck.
Why'd you have to do this?
He looks a little like him, too, actually.
Hey, boo-boo.
Yes, Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear.
Just make him a coach.
Yogi Bear is always in the range.
You could pay him $15,000.
At the picnic table, you will find him.
Why'd you have to do this?
Stuff and all more goodies than the average bear.
Those guys are morons.
Guilty as charged. Josh Allen is overrated. He's not that good.
I don't want to get blood by the Buffalo fans.
We also have this produced by Hardy. It's Mad Mike being mad about too much everything.
There's too much of everything, like in the world. People don't get it. Like, it takes more. This is a whole bigger thing. I could spend an hour on this.
That's what she said.
It takes more work to trim and have something quick and tight.
That's what she said.
Why are all movies now 2.5 hours?
2-3 hours. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be 90 minutes.
Yeah, Endgame.
Because it takes a lot of work to edit. That's the hard work. The hard stuff is editing. But all the sports are doing the same thing now, too. It takes more work to have a tighter quality product than to just keep going and going and going.
Just come on, you guys.
There's too much of everything, and this affects all of us, these effing podcasts. Like, they have all the time in the world. It's harder to do that in 10 minutes than to spend 60. Everyone thinks the longer you do it, the more work it is. So, like, again, I got a little rant on this. You guys just give a little sample of it. But last night did not quite reach that level, but the longer you go, you will feel it. It's like...
That's what she said.
It's just a little too much.
That's what she said. No time.
Maybe a lot too much in some cases.
That's what she said.
That's what who said?
I never know.
People don't get it.
Right, that was... Thanks to Hardy for putting that together. I got an email from our old simulcast producer, Josh Fowler, who said he liked the rant, agrees with it, and he gave me a Mark Twain quote that I wasn't aware of. Mark Twain once said, quote, "I sat down to write you a short letter, but I didn't have enough time, so I wrote you a long one," which is another way of saying it's easier just to keep rambling on. Yeah. So on that note, we're going to stop rambling.
Well, I thought you were going to say brevity is the soul of wit.
You know, it's also harder to be quicker. But like I said, before we start rambling on here, we're going to get out of here. Thanks to the greatest bar in Bud Light for the first Felger Maz remote in the pandemic times, post-pandemic times, we hope. Bruins coming up right now, Dunkin' Donuts pregame, then the game shortly after. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2 p.m.
See ya. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.